Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the At Sports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we wonder how Ric Flair has no time for Michigan State when even Blake O'Neill gave us 10 seconds. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows, including yesterday's, where our iSports MSU recruiting insider Ryan McCumber joined us to wrap up National Signing Day, and former Spartan center Anthony Iani talked a little MSU basketball and their matchup against U of M this weekend. He also gave us some insight and his thoughts on this year's football class. Today, though, we have former Western Michigan point guard and our resident Michigan fan, Jeremy Files, to talk a little bit more about the X's and O's regarding this weekend's game and how, what it means moving forward. Jeremy's with us now. Jeremy, man, we started the show together. It's been a while since you've been on. How you been?
Good, good. Things are going well. Ty, big weekend this weekend for obviously Michigan State, Michigan. I think a lot of people are excited about the game. Take a little break from the recruiting mayhem football, so it's kind of nice to, you know, concentrate on hoops now. It's basketball season, and, you know, it definitely is what it's all about this weekend, rivalry game.
All right, well, I know you look forward to this rivalry, like, every year and things of that nature, but first things first, we want to touch on what you're doing now. Since it's been a while since you've been at, you started up the lab. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the lab is a program that we started. It's in the Jackson County areas, but it does travel across the state of Michigan. It's the Life in Basketball is what it's called, and basically what we try to do is teach youngsters how to get better with their skills in the game of basketball, but also in life skills, and it's definitely a good program. It's, the last 3 or 4 years, you know, from not playing anymore, it was always kind of like, what am I going to do next? And it's always been a part of my plan with the game of basketball. And it's done really well. We've got some great kids in this area and also have been in Lansing a little bit and the Detroit area once in a while. I've been across the country as well, doing it in other states. But, you know, of course, this is home for me, so it's nice to be able to get back to our area, Tyler. You know, us going to school together, you know that Jackson County area has good athletes, and this is kind of where the home base of that is right now.
Yeah, if someone wants to find out more, or how can they contact you? Where can they find you? How can they follow you?
Well, I've been really trying to push, multiple social media networks, Instagram especially, because a lot of my videos are short videos where kids can, learn the game with some of the drills we do. So the Instagram is at the XFile20 and Twitter at J20File. So. And there's a Facebook page, The Lab with Jeremy Files, so check that out. I mean, it's beginning to just kind of, you know, start doing really well here in Michigan. You know, it's always been in different states. I've been fortunate to be in different states with it, but now it's, we're in the Mitten, so it's been great, man.
Well, let's talk about the rivalry in the Mitten, man. Huge game this week. It means a lot to both teams just moving forward, and obviously we'll touch on that. We've talked about it all week. We've mixed it in with our recruiting stuff, and we both mixed the recruiting stuff in with our basketball talk. We're focused on basketball now. This is what it's all about, especially since there's only one game this year between the two teams in Ann Arbor. What does that mean for teams in your estimation?
Well, I think it's, we talked about it earlier, Ty. I think it's different for both teams, but there's significance for both. I think Michigan State on a national precedent right now is a little higher, obviously, than Michigan. I think they have that national respect, and people expect them to take a run into March. So this is kind of a good game, another test for them to prove that, hey, we are one of the better teams in the country. For Michigan, they're kind of teetering back and forth. Are they bubble? Are they not? So it's bigger than just the rivalry. It's actually a very big game. For a look at and going into March, but also for the conference. I mean, this conference is deep. Michigan State has 4 losses. Michigan has 3. These teams are going to play each other. You know, all these teams are. You got one shot at each other, so this is huge. There's no, other opportunity to play each other. It's big. You know, it's going to be a good game. Both teams are so different. I mean, it's Michigan. to live and die by the three. It drives me crazy some days, but, you know, hey, it is tough to beat some nights, and other nights it's very easy to beat, like Indiana proved. So it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and either way, you know, there's going to be a lot of hype behind it. Izzo's going to have those boys playing extremely well, like always, and you just kind of hope that Michigan can come out and hit some shots.
And I think when you have Anthony Ioane, he talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think when you have the senior leadership with guys like Costello and Valentine, and as from a leadership aspect to a lesser extent, Forbes, you know, this is your one shot at Michigan this year. Michigan, they don't have, I mean, not to say they don't have any leadership, but they don't have the senior leadership. They don't have the experience in this rivalry, if you will. And so I think that is one small spot where Michigan State would end up having an advantage. Ultimately, whether or not leadership is tangible, if you can put a tangible point value or anything like that, whether it is something completely different and a topic for a different day. But what are some of the other matchups, some of the other areas where MSU might have an advantage?
Well, before I get into matchups, I wanted to say one thing just to piggyback off what you said, Ty. I mean, I think both teams actually do have some experience with this. I think Derek Walton, as a freshman, was huge two seasons ago when Stauskas had that big game, and he really had some big plays. And, you know, and it's an interesting stat. I wanted to let people know this, that the last two seasons, both teams have swept each other in the regular season. And, of course, Michigan State won the Big Ten tournament two seasons ago when both those teams had very good teams, when Michigan had Stauskas still. And, you know, it's just interesting because there is some experience in Michigan then, but I definitely understand what you're saying about the senior leadership. I think going into that, those matchups will be huge. I mean, I think when you talk about Costello, you know, we had already said what's going to be an X factor. I mean, Donnell down low for Michigan has to play well. They're going to have to get some presence down low. I think Costello's been a phenomenal for State this year. And I think he has really been a senior leader for them. Forbes has shot the ball lights out a lot of times. And, of course, Sell is going to play well. I mean, we all know that. So, you know, I think the key matchups for sure are exactly what you said. With the seniors for State, I think Michigan has to find a way to have Dawkins or Rockman do a good job on Forbes if that's the matchup. So wing positions are going to be, those are critical matchups, but down low is going to be the main one. Someone has to do something for Michigan down low, whether that's, you know, Donnell making a couple shots from outside, whether that's Zach Ervin technically plays the four, even though he's really a wing player. He's going to have a great game. He's going to have to stretch guys like Deontay Davis out. So it's just going to be interesting. You know, Michigan's outside, State has a little more presence inside. I think the matchups are kind of difficult for both schools, but, I would say State has more of the clear advantage, obviously, down low.
Oh, I mean, you know, you said Donnell had to play, or Donnell, sorry, had to play well against the Spartans. I'm not trying to discredit him because I've seen him play. I've watched him play. He came through Nebraska like you would not believe. But I just don't see him winning the dual matchup. I'm not saying, like, it's going to impact the entirety of the game and that Michigan can't win. Michigan can win. But I just don't see him beating a guy like Costello. Maybe he could probably work his way on Davis just because Davis is so inexperienced. But I think you hit the nail on the head with Ervin. Look, right now, without LeVert especially, Ervin is not an X-factor type player. But the way he plays his position is because he's going to force Deontay Davis out on the wing, and that guy cannot guard on the outside. He's great on the inside. He will adjust every shot that is in the paint. But on the outside, so it really makes you start to wonder whether or not you're going to see a lot more of the shorter power forwards that Michigan State have that are a little more athletic, like a Javon Best and a Marvin Clark, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I think in the past, you know, that Beilein has had some success for State, and the reason why he has is because, you know, when you talk about matchups, they're just different type of players on both schools. You know, I like to go back to Evan Smotrich. You know, he gave Nick Fitz a few years back. You know, I know that's a while back for those that probably don't remember that guy, but he was a problem. And you know, Mark Donnell is, he can't bang with Costello, but he can stretch it out and hit threes. You know, so it's one of those matchups where Michigan's not going to play any different. They're going to play their game. They're going to try to stretch the floor. They did have some success last year at the Breslin Center. Guys like Rockman did play well. The issue Michigan has there's a lot of guys that can shoot, but there's not a guy that really can take over, and that's kind of where Denzel Valentine comes in, where someone's going to have a big game. And Rockman had a huge game last year at the Breslin Center. I mean, he was huge. He came to play. I believe he had 20. That was kind of shocking. Spike Ulbrich hit shots. I mean, when Michigan hits, they can be effective. The problem is how do they defend State? And you mentioned it earlier. Are they going to double the post? I don't think you do. I think you basically say, okay, they're going to have to kill us down low. And believe me when I say this, it has happened. They have been dominated down low by a lot of teams. Yeah, they have been dominated down low by teams. They gave up a lot of points in the paint against Indiana. They gave up a lot of points in the paint against Purdue. They struggle down low defensively. But do you risk letting Forbes and those shooters get off? And then you're in big trouble. Then you get ran off the court. So I think you let Costello and Davis see if both those guys can score 40-plus points in the paint. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what Michigan does. I think if you double-team, though, the way State's been shooting, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, and one of the things is I mean, if I'm pulling for Michigan, which this is the Michigan State podcast, I'm not. But if I were, I'm right there with you. Like, if Michigan does bring up the double, everyone's talking about how great Costello's gotten over the course of this junior season and last season, you know, even just from the regular season to Big Ten, on the entire year as a whole, 9.7 points, 8.3 rebounds. But that number was helped since conference play, because now he's averaging 12.3, 10.8 rebounds. Thing that no one's talking about is the fact that he's turned into a pretty solid passer out of the paint. And when you have Davis sliding back door or something like that, when the double team comes, it's just going to open up for a highlight reel jam, and that's going to take the momentum out of Chrysler.
I
think you're right.
Yeah, absolutely. We're both right. We're both on the same page and right. But no, not to,
Which isn't going to happen a lot the rest of this podcast, so.
Right, it's not. So everyone enjoy. But just a quick point, that's what I think, like, that's why I think you just let Costello go. And can he score down low? Absolutely. And I think people don't understand. He's very underrated. So, you know, he could probably score 16 to 18 points on Michigan down low. Deontay Davis, if you give him, you know, man-on-man coverage, he can jump hook all day long, and he's going to be showing his length, and he can dominate down there. So I think basically what you say is, can we limit the big guys to, you know, 12, you know, 14 points, and then, you know, make sure that Denzel doesn't hit 20 or Forbes doesn't hit four threes. You know, that's the, you know, you got to pick one of the two. You know, you're not going to shut them down, because defensively Michigan is horrendous. You know, you got to decide, okay, well, how are they going to score on us? Are they going to score, you know, 70 points in the paint? Are they going to hit threes? I mean, that's how bad they are defensively. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it drives you crazy, but you know it's not going to change. So you got to say, okay, it's too late to fix it this late in the season, but we've got to figure out how to at least limit it.
Well, one last number I want to throw at you. When you look at post play, especially between these two teams, Mark Donnell, Ricky Doyle, and Maurice Wagner, the three, like, actual post players, I guess you could say, that Michigan has. I mean, you can talk about Duncan Robinson or Irvin technically being a small forward at the power forward position or whatever it is. But those three guys, they average 39.1 minutes per game between them. You look at...
Yeah, it's definitely widespread.
Costello, Davis, Gavin Schilling, Kenny Goins. they averaged 62 minutes, and that's not even including Javon Best, who occasionally gets in. When he's playing in power forward, even though he's a smaller guy, he does play inside. And so I think you're exactly right. That's where the difference in the game is going to lie for the most part. But another difference that could be made in the game is whether or not Caris LeVert is available. Tum-Tum Nairn, it just got released by the state news, I believe it was, reported that it's very doubtful Tum-Tum's going to play. But Caris LeVert, he feels like a Calvin Johnson-type situation because he's been day-to-day for about a month and a half.
Yeah, and Beilein handles that with these situations like that. I mean, last year was very similar with Walton and Caris LeVert. We had no idea how long it would last, and then you got close to March and you realize, okay, it's not going to happen. Last year was a situation where I think the state game, and I think there was some talks where Walton may play, and then they basically pulled the plug on both guys. It's really interesting because on a different perspective, when you think of him and his future, I just don't know if he's shown enough to really get a first-round pick. You know, I mean, he's done a lot over the last couple of years, I guess the 2 years prior to this one, I should say. He definitely was leading Michigan in pretty much every statistical category, and now Derek Walton's kind of took over in some things. But I don't know if he helps a ton just because it would be his first game back. He definitely helps being a veteran, and I think he helps defensively because he can defend. And definitely guarding guys like Forbes and Zell on the wing and up top. But then again, would he be a great defender because he's been out for a while? So I don't know if he comes back. I don't know if it helps or hurts. I think it's kind of just one of those things where, hey, maybe he hits a shot or two, maybe gets some solid minutes. He has experience. He knows where to go. So it could be helpful.
Yeah, and I think one of the weird things, well, not weird, but one of the things that you got to look out for is he's kind of like Aaron Harris in a certain way in that he can play, I'm going to use another analogy, like Carmelo Anthony, where, yeah, he can make some nice plays, and if he's on, you want to get him the ball, but it doesn't progress the offense. I mean, LeVert's a lot better at progressing the offense than Aaron Harris is, but I think that's another thing, too. I think the combination of the two, I mean, with that, you might as well wait until LeVert is completely healthy, just because if he's going to come in, he's going to impact your defense. You said it, he's going to impact your defense, and they're going to need him at 100%. On that end of the floor especially, and on offense, if he slows down the ball movement and he's not at 100%, I mean, I think it would hurt Michigan. I think it would. And it's kind of the same thing with Tum-Tum. Tum-Tum doesn't give you
I would say you're partially correct on that. He sucks on the ball once in a while. It's not to a point where he stops complete movement.
It's not to an Aaron Harris level.
No, and I think that it's one of those things when he has the ball, if it was Saturday where he hasn't played, then maybe I would say you're correct because I don't think he's going to be as explosive or he's not going to be on a level where he can get by guys. So if he is trying to do some things that he was, you know, capable of doing before, then, yeah, maybe this is going to hurt the offensive flow. The one thing they had a horrible time with in Indiana, though, they were taking fast shots in the shot clock. I think if you're going to play against State and you're gonna have to take good shots and you're going to have to make good shots. If you start taking shots 10 to 15 seconds in the shot clock and you miss and they run out, it's going to be a long night, and Indiana proved that. Indiana plays very similar to Michigan State. So maybe having a guy like Caris around to be able to get some ball movement, a guy that knows where to go, another threat on the court, because I'll tell you what, I mean, if he's injured, he's injured, but if he's open, he can hit shots. So, you know, he's another guy that can shoot. And I think with Derek Walton, there's enough penetrators out there with him. And Rockmont's a good driver, too. And you know, those guys can do things off the dribble. But it's going to be really interesting, man. It's a weird game. I mean, I keep saying that because Michigan played terrible Tuesday. They looked awful. They looked like a team that was middle of the road or worse. And then they've had times this year where they look like, wow, they can make a push at some of these teams. So I don't know what to expect, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, I'm right there with you. It's a nuts game. Both teams completely different styles. Tom Izzo, anti-zone, John Beilein, likes to extend the 1-3-1 press on occasion at about half court. And so it is a little different. You know, Michigan State has an inside game. Michigan has extra help on the outside with the Zach Irvin playing the four that we talked about. And so there's mismatches on both ends. And ultimately, I think that's going to decide who ends up winning the game, who ends up taking advantage of the situation. But there are some uncertainties with both of these teams. If you look at Michigan, only one ranked team this year. It was a good team, but they've only beaten one ranked team. Michigan State, on the other hand, yeah, they've got a nice neutral site win against Kansas. But the game against Louisville was at home. The game against Florida was at home. They've struggled a little bit on the road. If you want to look at the Wisconsin game and obviously the Iowa game. But, and so can Michigan State win on the road? What are your thoughts regarding both those situations? Is Michigan a good enough team to where they can beat another ranked team? Or was the Maryland game just a fluke? Can Michigan State win one on the road?
Michigan at home is a much different team, but they're capable of doing what they did Tuesday. And it was very similar to the Michigan State game last year. They gave up all open shots. They took bad shots. And that's what you get is a 24-point run, which was incredible. And Michigan State did a lot of similar things to Michigan last year when they went to Chrysler. So is Michigan capable? Absolutely. But they, like, always have to hit shots, and that's just so scary. Michigan State, on the other hand, this is different. Yeah, we chatted about this earlier. They haven't had a significant road win, a pure road game, you know, road game where they went to not a neutral site. But I think this will give them a whole lot of confidence if State wins because, you know, they do have Indiana coming up. They do have some tougher games. They got Purdue coming up. It's you know, road or home, when you're playing teams like Purdue and Indiana and Iowa, you know, they're tough games. You know, Maryland is the same thing. I think Michigan is just kind of, you know, being a Michigan guy, I cannot be honest, though. I just think they're at that 4th or 5th team in the conference right now. You know, they're not good enough to win the conference, but they're good enough to scare the teams like a Maryland at home. On the road, I just don't think they have enough firepower and enough toughness, because you got to have toughness to win on the road in the Big Ten, and they don't have enough of that, and that's why they've always struggled on the road. And Trey Burke's gone, too. We don't have Trey Burke to bail anyone out anymore, or Nick Stauskas, so that's your issue. So to answer your question, Michigan's capable of beating a team like State at home. Michigan State is fully capable, and they have to prove it Saturday, because this is a huge road test.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have those quality road wins. Obviously, in the Big Ten, you can struggle in Madison, regardless of how bad that team may be doing in the public's eye. Struggling in Madison is not a big deal.
That's like Minnesota. You know, Michigan State struggled with Minnesota a little bit. Minnesota hasn't won a Big Ten game, and those are hard places to play at.
Yeah. What does this mean? We got like 5 minutes left. What does this mean? What would this game mean for both teams moving forward as, you know, you're getting ready for March? Because, look, you said it, Michigan, they've got a shot at the Big Ten. They've got a mathematical shot. Well, I guess so does State. But they also lost. They would have, or leading the Big Ten, Michigan State still has to make up an extra game because they got swept against the Hawkeyes. Michigan, you said they're about the 4th or 5th best team. I think we have them at 6th for the iSports Web Power Rankings. And like I said, they do only have one signature win. The good news, they don't have any signature losses. So what does this mean for both teams moving forward as they get ready to enter March?
Well, it's huge for Michigan because you have to try to erase what happened Tuesday because that was an eye-opener. I think it was a bad loss. It was a loss that, you know, really proved a lot of things that we all know, that if Michigan doesn't shoot well, they can get ran off the court, and it was ugly. So they have to prove their worth. They have to prove that they are one of the top four teams in the Big Ten because that's what you're playing for right now. Statistically, they are. Are they really better than Michigan State? You have to prove it. You know, you're one game above them in the standings, but you're playing a team that's ranked 10th in the country. So obviously many people believe that they're a better team, even though you're better in conference. So they have to prove their worth. This could be a confidence builder for Michigan. You know, you go right after Indiana, you eliminate that loss, you beat a team like Michigan State, your rival. It's huge. And it really looks good for the NCAA tournament. And then it might give them a little confidence there. On Michigan State's end, they've had some really good games lately, not very good competition, but they've been on their game. This is just another building block to prove that they are one of the best teams in the country still. I think State is a type of team where, and I said this to some people earlier, if Michigan's going to win, it's going to be close. If State wins, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be like Indiana. It's going to be a 20-point game. It's going to be a 15-point game because I just think that when State's confident, they're one of the better teams in the country. When they play down a little bit, they can lose. They can be ugly. They look bad sometimes. And then we know how Tommy Izzo looks when that happens. So it can be some bad moments for State. But this is a game for State. Proven national prominence for Michigan. Prove the worth.
So Michigan, it looks like they're trying to prove their worth in the conference. State is looking to show their worth nationally.
Yeah, I just think that's just how it is right now. I think, you know, it's one of those situations in basketball where Beeline's done phenomenal to be able to somehow catch up in some season, be able to beat Michigan State, but you just don't have enough, you know, weapons or experience over the last year, especially, you know, in three seasons, Michigan's been in the Final Four in the Elite Eight, and they didn't make a tournament. Last year was a bad year, and you lose 16 games, it doesn't look good, and you lose people's interest quickly. This is a microwave society. They want to see things now, so Michigan's got to prove it, and that's what it comes down to.
All right, well, you said something, and I want to touch on this really quick. Like I said, we've only got a couple minutes left in the show. You said something about Michigan possibly not making the tournament this year. Do you honestly believe that?
Well, I think there's enough easy games where they should make it. I just think, you know, there's been reports, and ESPN is about as reliable of a source as my next-door neighbor, but, you know, it comes down to that's what the word is, and they are a part of this whole sports world, and then that was part of the saying, they're kind of a bubble team. If you think about it, they've got a lot of tough games left still. You still got to play teams like Iowa, and you got Michigan State. Right now, they've got six losses. I believe they're 18-6. I hope I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 17-6. So, you know, you get to 7-8 losses, and every loss after that is tough. So, and then you got the Big Ten tournament. If they're in the top six, there's no reason why they won't make it. They're going to make it. But, yeah, it's still a lot of season left. So, yeah, it's one of those situations, Ty. People are saying there's still a bubble.
For what it's worth, I think that they're
pretty
in.
Incredible.
They don't have any
incredible
losses. And so I think that's enough
to
put them in. Quick, let's get your prediction.
You know, I just don't think that Michigan has enough defensively. You know, I would love to see a Michigan win. You know, I'm pulling for the blue, but you know, you just have to be realistic. And right now, I just don't think they have enough firepower defensively, and they're not physical enough to beat a team like State. State's playing a little more confident. They're shooting a little better. They had a week off, and that's not an excuse. I mean, teams get a week off, but playing a team like Michigan State with a week off is really dangerous. And I think it will be rough. It's going to be a tough game for Michigan. I don't see it going very well. And I think it'll be a team loss. You know, I can see 73-60. 73-58, you know, somewhere in that range.
All right, that does it for us today. For Jeremy File, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.